The biggest sports stories of the week.
I think that is the attitude you should have. But if the first thing you bring up when you look at the standings is Craig Counsell, then he has real estate in your head.
I don't think you can even argue.
Oh, no argument.
The Green Bay Packers, the way it ended,
but like I just said it, like they were 7-8 last year against everyone besides the Bears, right?
Unique and compelling analysis and opinions when it comes to your favorite teams.
As much as they want, because both teams are good and that game to be
Kyle, you're not feeling this.
Jason knows I'm not feeling
Kyle
it.
Kyle and I have already had this argument.
Yeah.
You hate that I feel
What else was on the WB back then? What else did I miss?
You probably saw the Wayans brothers, right?
Yeah.
The Jamie Foxx show. Come on now, Craig. You know the Jamie Foxx show?
No.
You know,
this is Sunday Karma, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue. Here's GKB founder and CEO, Craig Karmazin.
And welcome to New Orleans, Louisiana. It is Super Bowl 59 with you on ESPN Wisconsin. Sunday Karma with you until noon on a Super Bowl Sunday. Good morning, Kyle. Good morning, Strophy.
Good morning, Craig. Your voice sounds gone.
Really? I thought my voice is great. I didn't realize that. Do you think I've been New Orleansing too much?
Can hear myself. All right, there we go. Echo. Good stuff.
So do you think New Orleans has gotten me?
What were you up to last night? Fill us in. Obviously, you're down in New Orleans. You're partying it up. You're amongst the stars. Fill us in.
I don't think I was. It was like very chill. I went to a party during the day, just like a chill party. It was like, what's his name's party? Lee Steinberg, the agent from back in the day. I don't know if he even still is an agent. It was like, when you're at a party, you're thinking like, what are things you associate with parties? Let's just play a quick game. You and Kyle go back and forth. Just one word association. What are things you associate with parties?
Alcohol.
Okay. And there was alcohol. Okay. Kyle, what do you got?
A lot of stuff. Stuff that we shouldn't do.
Yeah, there wasn't that.
Okay, Celebrities.
Yeah.
Do you count as a celebrity?
Are you kidding? No, I'm the lowest. I don't think I've been. I mean, I'm the closest place in the world that I'm a celebrity is actually at the media center, like where all the podcasts and radio shows and all that stuff's going on. Because I think like in this industry, like just people need jobs really bad. So I think that's the only place in the world I'm a celebrity. But besides that, no, nowhere else in the world am I a celebrity. So this party, the thing it had, Kyle, when you're talking about like bad things and maybe you're not supposed to, there was a seminar going on head injuries in the NFL. Where there was five experts like at the front of the room, like outside and rows and rows of chairs. So it wasn't like kind of that type of party, I guess.
Okay.
So that was the party during the day. Then I did go to Gary V's party last night. Are you familiar with Gary V?
Oh, we all know Gary V.
Yeah. Well, some people do. He's either in your algorithm or he's not in your algorithm. And I feel like you either know him as this like motivational, outspoken guy who wants to own the New York Jets, who has all these life lessons for us all, or you have no idea what we're talking about right now in Gary Vaynerchuk.
He gives you a lot of motivation.
Strophy, you know him?
Strophy moved really quickly, but he knows him.
You do know him?
Yeah, absolutely. I read one of his books one time, Craig. Very charismatic fella.
Yes. He grew up right by me in Jersey, same age, so he's obviously had great success. So I popped by his party for a while, went to dinner, then went to the ESPN party after that on Bourbon Street. But I was both nights I walked in my hotel room at like 12:04. So, like, back in the day, New Orleans Super Bowl, like, when the Packers were in it,
yeah,
back in 96, I was walking in at, like, 3:30, 4 o'clock. Now, I was in by midnight-ish both nights.
Well, look at you. That's called improvement.
Yeah. It's called responsibility, Kyle. You may need to learn about that when you travel. Because I believe your last trip to New Orleans did not go that well.
It went okay.
I just was a little tired the next day.
Yeah, exactly. But when you have a show on Super Bowl Sunday, you're expected to bring it. So that is why I rested. But obviously, I think Stroke, you just forget that I don't have a good voice in general. You compare it to your voice.
I didn't lose my voice
in New Orleans. I never had a good voice.
I didn't say good voice. I just said voice.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're working on that. Sounds like we're working on a few other things as we get ready for the Super Bowl. We do have a mystery guest today. Is George Sedano our only mystery guest in the history of the show that actually appeared? Rashad Vaughn, our mystery guest who did not appear. And then we had our mystery guest of George Sedano. So is that what we're building off of today?
Kyle's my mic on, there we go. Yes.
George Sedano last week when I was out.
Kyle and Greg, tough time last week, Greg. I watched it back. George Sedano, easy.
Yeah. So now, today's mystery guest, I think it's still seven no's. Like, you guys keep answering.
So I have to ask as many questions until I get seven no's, is the way we're playing it now?
Either you get the answer right, you get the mystery guest correct.
Okay.
If you get to seven no's, then you lose. And then I guess we just have to decide if we open it up for callers or if we just, then I win and we.
All right. We are a month into the new Sunday Karma. And it is very clear none of us have thought about how this new game works.
Oh, I've thought a lot about it. We just don't talk about it amongst ourselves.
So we're busy people.
Well, look, I understand it, right? To your point, Kyle, we are busy individuals. We have other things to think about during the week. But this is almost embarrassing.
No, it's beyond embarrassing. But it's past embarrassing.
Okay, got it.
Is that my fault? Is it my fault?
No, producer's my fault.
Yeah. Well, yes.
It is your fault. It's your fault for saying you want to be the producer when you should be a host. But if Strokey was producing, it would be better. It's your fault to decide that you want to be the producer, not. You know, it's just not a role you should be in.
He was offended when I suggested the idea of me producing occasionally, not on a weekly basis, an occasional producer. He was offended by the idea. I even pondered that. So my understanding of my role on this new and improved with the question mark Sunday Karma is that I just show up and I try to fill in the dots a little bit.
That's all of our roles. That's why it's a bad show. But anyone who listens is committed to being part of that, right? Everyone's job on the show, including you as the listener, is just to show, or viewer, sorry, I just say listener, but see many of you watching on YouTube. You see great background here. We can give you a tour of my hotel room here in New Orleans.
I'm very curious of where you're staying at.
I want the ins and outs. I want to know.
This does not seem like a typical five-star hotel.
Dude, this is like an 11-star hotel. I'm in the coolest spot ever.
Is there a kitchenette in your hotel room? Is there a kitchenette?
No. This is like old school New Orleans, but I'm in one of the coolest hotels in the entire city. I'm actually in a hotel that Emeril, I'm his guest, so I shouldn't have to say his last name. How do we say Emeril's last name?
All I know is Bam. I don't know his last name.
Yeah, so
We're referring to the same person, right?
I don't know. I don't know about Bamming. I don't watch the Food Network. I'm assuming that's
you're referring to the chef?
Yes.
Okay. Bam. Yes. Yeah, that's him.
So I'm at a hotel that only has 20 total rooms.
Oh.
Only like 14 of them are in use. Emeril has bought out the entire hotel. I'm a guest of his foundation here.
Oh.
I actually won this hotel room in an auction at the V Foundation, Stuart Scott Booyah event in New York. So I'm at this really, really cool hotel. So I'm here with my uncle. He's in a separate room. So we have two of the 14 rooms. But my uncle and I, when we each walked into our rooms, there were monogrammed robes with our initials on it.
Oh, like, wow.
I mean, that's never happened to me when I've walked into a hotel. So I know my uncle still keeps saying, like, I keep thinking about putting it in my bag, but I feel like siren's going to go off and they're going to come arrest me or something for stealing the robe. And I'm like, nah, it's got your initials on it.
It's yours.
Yeah, you got to take it. If someone puts your initials on a robe, they can't be using that for the next guest who's coming in. So yeah, this hotel, it's old. It's like from the 1850s or something, but it's nice. It's really nice. They got a hospitality room for us. Yeah, this is, I know the background might not look exciting for those who watch it on YouTube and anywhere else reviewable, but now this is a really, really nice spot.
All right, so now that we have taken care of the echo, and I can actually hear you, I have about 8 questions about what's going on. All right, so you,
by the way, this is
for real,
also,
you've got hangover cure in your hand.
This is also what they do for you in New Orleans. Like, when you check in, they give you all of this. Which
Advil, Alka-Seltzer. Oh,
that's for the week. It's for the week. If you do the crime, you got to do the time.
Indeed.
Yep, they give you all sorts of hangover.
Have you utilized any of them, Craig?
I did one of these, like, you know, one of these hydration multipliers right before I came on the air.
Okay.
Oh,
good.
Wow.
Good for you.
Wait. What time did you go to bed at last night, Craig?
I was asleep early. I
what
I
is that? What is early?
Before 1.
Okay. That's not that early. I was on a party bus last night, and I was asleep before 1.
Oh,
so,
wow. Well, you did all day.
In New Orleans.
I'm not in New Orleans.
New Orleans Super Bowl weekend, right? Like, I mean, it's very different. Like most people, I had business meetings at 8 a.m. on Saturday morning.
Business meetings? What type of business
in New Orleans,
were you
huh?
doing in New Orleans?
Yeah,
I've been to business meetings in New Orleans.
Fill us in.
Did we close the deal? Did we seal it?
Open.
Come on now.
Open.
You know,
open
the deal. We work with a lot of NFL teams. So, you know, I'm catching up with people and brands and agencies. But when I met with people at 8 a.m., not a single one of them had been asleep, had been back to their hotels before 2 a.m. So me being like at noon, they're like, oh, you're
I'm
like,
proud of you.
You're like,
good
you're
for
like
you.
Old. Like, you're like an old veteran who's done so many of these that you don't even go out anymore. Like, people are like, oh, yeah, I was with Snoop in a basement, you know, where his concert started at 1 a.m. after whatever. Like, you know, that's, yeah. So for me, both nights to be home around midnight, that is lame, and that shows that I'm not getting after it this Super Bowl.
So you got there what day? For then Friday you got there?
Thursday.
You got there Thursday. Thursday night was what?
Team dinner.
Okay. Friday was what?
No,
Friday night was
Thursday
what?
Thursday, team dinner means everyone from, like, our Good Karma ESPN network to our local markets to, like, Adam Schefter and, like, the guys and women, Michelle Smallman, like, people who – are part of the ESPN radio network and ESPN podcast. So that was Thursday night.
And that one is on your books then? Team dinner's on Craig on Thursday?
On Good Karma. Good Karma pays for that. Okay. That's not me personally, but yes.
Got it. Friday night was what?
Friday night was, so 3 to 5 was happy hour meet and greet with a lot of our talent. Where again, Adam Schefter, Steve Levy from ESPN.
Wait a minute, Kyle Walls and Alex Stroke weren't invited. We're talent.
People from our different brands. Andrew Siciliano, who, you know,
voice
did
the Browns, right?
Browns games. Yeah. You know, so bunch of different talent there. And then from there over to an ESPN party, from there to just a late night. Actually, we had a 9:30 dinner reservation that night.
That's late, and I saw Evan Cohen, who I assume you were with, was complaining about the fact that he had a 9:30 dinner reservation, despite the fact he didn't have to work on Saturday.
That's a legitimate thought.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty late to eat dinner.
That's a normal dinner time for me,
but
so I have no problem
But he's an East Coast guy, so it's 10:30 for him.
Well, but also, he was on the air on ESPN Radio yesterday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m.
Oh, he did have to work yesterday. Okay, my bad. Yes. Then I understand where he's coming from. Okay, and then...
Yeah.
And then last night you mentioned you were out until about 1 a.m. What was last night?
Well, last night was midnight again. I mean, and last night was, you know, a few parties, you know, and a dinner.
Okay,
so,
who was the most famous person you interacted with this week, Craig?
I mean, like, in terms of total followers, it would probably be Adam Schefter, right?
Okay.
Because he's just got so many. The best is one of our guys from our team was like, he was doing some stuff with Verizon. He's like, yeah, I didn't realize this guy Travis Scott was such a big deal. I met him, seemed like a nice guy, but I didn't realize he was so big.
Yeah, he's like, pretty famous.
Yeah, that, by the way, that's Kenny Rovac, our former ESPN Madison general manager, who had said that.
You know, that adds up. Okay. I was going to ask who said it. That makes sense.
Yeah. This Travis Scott guy seems to be a nice guy. Okay, but by the way, there was a lot of things that happened this week, especially with the Milwaukee Bucks. I think we're going to need to talk about that. As I said, our mystery guest today is going to be very interesting for you both.
Interesting.
I'm very interested to see how you perform with them. I think they are going to be an interesting challenge for you. We'll talk some Packers, obviously, when we have Jason Wilde here. You know, there's interesting stuff going on around the NFL, which we'll talk about with Jason. But we have a lot of things to get to, and I think we got to talk a little bit about Chris Middleton when we continue. So that is coming up next. It is Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
All I ever wanted was a black Grand National. Being rational, giving what they asked for. It's not enough. Few solid left, but it's not enough. Few that are reached that, but it's not enough. Say you bigger than myself, but it's not enough. I get on it. Yeah, somebody gotta do it. I mean, yeah, somebody gotta do it. I take the G pad, watching do it. Huh. We survived outside, all from the music. What? They like, what he on? It's the Alpha and Omega. Welcome home. This is not a song. This is a revolution.
I know, but I don't want to interrupt this.
Okay. Sounds good. You know who this is?
No.
You don't know?
Oh, Craig Carmen. Are you kidding me?
I assume it's Travis Scott.
No, it's the Super Bowl performance.
It's Kendrick?
It's Kendrick.
Kendrick all day today, baby.
Craig, you're going to see this guy live and in person in 8 hours. You got to dust up on the discography a little bit.
So you haven't heard this part before, Craig? You haven't heard like your daughter maybe scream just randomly out that she wants like different condiments like relish, ketchup, or maybe this one? You haven't heard her just walk around the house and say mustard?
No.
Oh wow,
that was well done.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, you're going to – well, basically today when you're at the Super Bowl.
I have told her, by the way, to be humble and sit down.
You'll probably hear that today. But, Craig, when you hear, you know, when Kendrick plays today and a whole bunch of people randomly just start yelling out, mustard, don't get, you know, surprised. Like, oh, we're getting hot dogs. What? No, you just understand. You just start yelling mustard with them. You want to practice?
I'll practice.
All right, here we go. In three.
I just want to make sure. Wait. Can you tell me what mustard means before I yell it out?
Yeah, mustard is the DJ who made the beat, basically. That's all it is.
Okay.
Mustard on a beat.
And is mustard named after anything inappropriate? I don't want to get involved in any of these. Like when Brett Favre's like reading cameos and he's actually like telling people to like storm the castle or something. And he doesn't realize. Like, I don't want to get caught up in one of these controversies.
I just think he
Well, the good news is, Craig, we have you now on the record asking follow-up questions just in case you're saying something slightly offensive, which I don't believe you are.
No, his name is Dijon. His name is Dijon. And then you know what Dijon is,
Craig? Okay, so that's why it's called mustard?
Yeah, so you ready?
That's kind of wholesome. Don't you think that's kind of wholesome, actually?
It's very wholesome.
Why is his name Dijon?
Because his mama and daddy named him that.
Because his mama named him Dijon. Why are you going to judge him?
D-I-J-O-N?
Yeah, what are you trying to say? I'm used to saying Craig. What are you trying to say? Strophe? Something wrong with the name Dijon? Dijon is a very famous name.
I mean, like, we could be a little bit more creative than just naming you after your favorite mustard. We could be.
No, Dijon is like, what? Like, what? Is Alex such a creative name?
Yeah. No, but I can go ahead and confirm that my mother did not read a mustard bottle and be like, wow, Alex sounds like a pretty name.
The name doesn't come from just mustard.
No, but I'm saying
mustard.
Dijon isn't like named after mustard. Like, Kyle, explain. Dijon's like a common name in the hood. Like, Dijon's the same as Alex.
Oh, wow, in the hood.
In the hood, huh?
I don't know about the hood now, Craig. I grew grew up in the hood. But Dijon, is just.
Come on, you didn't go to high school in the hood. You didn't grow up in the hood at all.
No, not at all. I grew up from 66th and Capitol in 99th and
Capitol. Way to assume, Craig. Got a boy.
I was explaining to you. I was with my uncle. My uncle's the one on this trip with me. And that's why he was afraid to put his robe into his bag, because he grew up in the Queensbridge Projects, which everyone could hit their Wikipedia to understand. So we've been talking about the hood for the last 4 days, because he grew up in Queensbridge in the projects. So we've been talking hood the last 4 days.
My dad
and my uncle, actually, my dad was born in a different spot. And then when they were like two, they moved to the projects. So, that's my family's projects roots.
Nope. Queensbridge, the largest of 26 public housing developments in Queens, is located between two streets, yada, yada. Okay. So it's a little bit
Look at the notables who are from Queensbridge projects, if you're on the Wikipedia.
Well, it's a very long list.
A lot of great stuff from there. Oh, wow.
What are the occupations?
Rappers,
go
boxers.
The occupations real quick.
Rapper, rap group, rapper, filmmaker, professional boxer, NBA player. Bernard Fowler, the background vocalist for the Rolling Stones.
From
Queensbridge. NBA player, rapper, music producer, rapper, actor, rap group, rapper, NBA player, chief of detectives.
I mean, that's the hood, right?
Like rapper, like, hip hop, NBA.
Would you agree that that's where my dad grew up until basically he moved into married my mom. He lived in that project.
Your father, not a rapper, but does have a Wikipedia page.
Yes, but it doesn't.
He's not listed in the notable.
When someone added him to the Queensbridge projects, it instantly got taken down because I think people assumed it was a joke that he could actually be from there.
Oh, wow.
He actually is.
Yeah, from back in the day when it was a little bit more diverse in them projects, huh?
No, it was not diverse at all.
Wow. He was only the white kid in the projects back in the 40s?
I mean, late 40s and through the 50s and basically lived there until the early 60s. You know, I have no white first cousins.
Yeah, I do know that really quickly though. Dijon is also a place in France as well. So just so you know, it's like
I imagine that's where the mustard originated. No,
maybe. Mustard.
Yes.
Yeah. So now you're ready for tonight. Make sure you don't say that to nobody else though.
Oh, really? You see?
No, not that. Not that about the projects. Just go ahead, y'all. Just keep that between y'all two.
What did I do?
I'm talking about him and his uncle. I don't want Craig to get no trouble.
I'm sorry, Kyle, that I'm the one with hood credibility on this show, and you don't. Don't be jealous. Why can't I share that with you?
I don't want hood credibility. I want good credibility.
that was like a lyric.
I could be a rapper.
You dropping bars back there?
You know, I have a couple. I'm on a couple tracks. A couple tracks to friends.
That an original bar right there that you just dropped?
Wait, hold on. You just said, I'm on a couple tracks with the friends. Does that mean there was literal music of you available on the internet?
I shouldn't have said track. I'll just say we recorded some, a cipher.
Public consumption?
I don't think it was ever publicly released.
Okay.
No, no.
So you're telling me.
I want hood credibility. I want good credibility.
Yeah, I want that good credibility. Uh-huh. We've gone left.
All right. We are going to talk about Chris Middleton at some point, but I guess
you sure about that?
That's going to happen.
You sure we're going to do that?
The only thing I know about Chris Middleton is the fact that he already sat out a game.
We're going wildy into mystery guest. Are you sure we're going to talk about Chris Middleton at some point?
Y'all may, with the faith I have in you guys, it might be noon by the time you figure out who this mystery guest.
Speaking of noon, but we can't run past noon because we have a whole Ben Bruss.
Oh yeah, Bruss, Joshy, Jen Latta. Yeah,
they're at Pato today.
What's going on with this?
We've got a special edition of the Weekly Wager from noon to three this afternoon on ESPN Milwaukee. From Pottawatomie Sportsbook and Casino, the brand new annex opening up. So they're out there celebrating that. And obviously people getting in their last minute tickets for Super Bowl 59 over at Pato. So we're going to be rocking with Jen Latta, Ben Bruss, and Joshy DiMaggio from noon to three.
That's on ESPN Milwaukee. ESPN Madison will have the Bucks and 76ers, which is pretty cool. As will WTMJ will have the Bucks and 76ers. But on the ESPN version of it, it's going to be really historic. And we'll talk about why that TV broadcast of the Bucks game is going to be so special along the way today as well. But right now, we're going to get you ready for Jason Wilde. He's next. It's ESPN Wisconsin.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Hey, they better call a paramedic in the street. I got leverage in the street. I'm a California and I'm heavy in the streets.
22 or 23, I'm heavy with the heat. Hit you with the top paramedic, can't save you.
Really, it's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Can't lose. That's just something I can't relate to. Turned on a gang, that's just something that I can't do. All I love, just something that I can't do. Rip, bare beat, I get on, I was made to. Get your growling, something like a Black Panther. Tryna touch a milk, then get your bands up. With the gang, yeah, I had the man up. One fist in the air, I ain't finna put my hands up.
I wish it was fun. I wish it was
fun.
I wish it was
fun.
Say that again, Craig. Kendrick was coming in too hot.
I said, is it all Kendrick all the time this morning?
It must be for Kyle Wallace. He's very excited about the halftime show. Rightfully so. I think it's going to be a fun one. Now,
I agree. I think we need to, though. I mean, do we just need to play his song with SZA, or do we need to play any like SZA on her own? I don't know exactly what we should be doing to respect SZA as well.
This is not SZA's halftime show.
That's true. It is Kendrick's.
But SZA
is making an appearance. Now, will Taylor Swift make an appearance? Will she come down from her suite to perform Bad Blood with Kendrick? Well,
no, I don't think
one of Kendrick's biggest songs, at least according to Spotify and Apple Music, is the Bad Blood feature he did with Taylor Swift.
You know, I tried to tell people, Carrie Noni and Ben Jammin from Jammin' with Juice in the Morning, they joined Truth to Power with Kyle Wallace. Yesterday, we were live from Steinhoff's in Oak Creek.
Yesterday was Saturday, so that would have been on Friday.
Today. Yes, Friday. And I tried to tell them, I said, listen, Kendrick Lamar is popping, but his song with Taylor Swift is probably one of the most famous songs. I said, oh, stop it.
I mean, he has an incredibly deep discography, but
Taylor's on a whole nother level.
Taylor's on a whole nother level, and she's obviously going to be there. So, just a thought.
But if she comes down, then it's about her, and I don't think she wants to make the Super Bowl about her, whether it's taking away the spotlight from Trav.
That's true.
Or from Kendrick.
Did you just call him Trav?
Yeah.
You guys are on a half name basis?
No, but isn't that what she calls him, Trav?
To be honest with you, Craig, I have no idea what she calls him. I've never asked.
Like the Swifties. I mean, if you're on, when you see the Swifties comment about it, it seems like everyone calls him Trav.
Well, Jason Wilde, allegedly a Swiftie, I believe at least. And maybe he would have some insight on that.
Good morning, Jason.
I'm definitely a Swiftie. I am not close enough with Travis Kelce to call him Trav. But I agree with Craig's diagnosis that I don't think Taylor Swift wants to take the focus away from the featured artists that are doing the halftime show. But I know one Swiftie in my house besides me who's hopeful that she will make a cameo appearance.
I think it's interesting because my daughter would kill me if I said I was a Swiftie. So it's interesting that Jason can pull that off without the wrath of his teenage and two teenage or soon to be teenage on the second one daughters.
No, they're both one's 15 and one's going to be 14 next month. And I'm struggling to grapple with that reality that I am an old dad at this point. So no, they're both varying degrees of fans of Taylor Swift's work. I would say Sydney is the Swiftie and Madison is more of a casual listener to her music.
Yeah, so Jason, a lot of talk about Myles Garrett out here in New Orleans. He made the rounds at the media center. He just joined SportsCenter. And I know a lot of discussion from our ESPN Wisconsin team about Myles Garrett as well. You know, we saw this with Lamar Jackson, that like just because you say you're going to get traded doesn't mean you get traded in the NFL. How realistic is it to think that Myles Garrett will get traded? And if so, are the Packers even a realistic destination for him?
Well, I want to make one thing clear for some fans who are looking at his contract and going, ooh, we get Myles Garrett and he's got $19 million as a base salary next year and $22 million. I want to be clear, that's not how that is going to work. So he is going to need a new contract. And he
right, and what is that, like a four-year, is that like 4 years, 160 or so if you're trading for him?
So the number that I saw from Votrack was 4 years, $137 million. That seemed conservative to me, so I'm guessing it'll be more than that. But, yes, whatever it is, it's going to be a large number. And look, the Packers could do that if they want, but I thought Tausch made a really good point during the week, and that is, you know, there's basically a three-pronged issue here. One is, what are you giving up in trade compensation, right? And Goody actually addressed this idea, not about Myles Garrett specifically, but about trading for an established veteran player and using a premium pick or multiple premium picks to do it. One, you're losing the draft picks, the compensation that you're giving up, obviously. Second, you're losing having a controllable rookie contract that is not very expensive. And then third, you're paying that player, in this case, a very large number, and in this case, a very large new number, because you're not just taking over his previous contract. So
Jason, you know, if we said Rashawn Gary, a one and a two for Myles Garrett, who's saying no to that?
Whew.
Well, I think the Browns are still, because I think Andrew Berry, and again, our teammates at ESPN Cleveland would know this far better than me, but I don't think Andrew Berry's we're not trading him is positioning. I think it's honestly how he feels in talking with some other people that cover the league. Now, that said, eventually you get to a point where there's a number in terms of the trade compensation where not even Andrew Berry would say no. Right.
That's what about what I just threw out there, Jason? Like, is that a fair, like, from the Packers standpoint, would giving up Rashawn Gary so that the Browns could look at themselves and be like, hey, we're getting a guy back who's has the ability correct. To be a game changing yep. pass rusher, plus we're getting a mm-hmm. one and a two. Like, is that somewhere in the vicinity, if they were willing to deal, of a deal that could make sense?
I think they would. I think they would prefer to avoid giving up two firsts, and that this would allow them to do that. Now, I think it's important to add that I don't think the Packers are as down on Rashawn Gary as Packers fans are.
Oh, no, Jason, I'm saying that is showing that Rashawn Gary would have a lot of value, you know, to bring back someone like that. I'm not indicating
I agree.
That at all. But
Right. I agree, and the reason I bring it up is, while you might say, okay, well, maybe we can, again, this is the fan mentality of, well, maybe we can trick the Browns into taking them off of our hands. Goody would look at this as, I'm giving up two first-round picks, right? Because one that's been a first-round pick and one that would be a first-round pick that would be made, and then a second-round pick as well. I believe that the Packers believe that Rashawn Gary in the second year of this new system will be significantly better. I'm not sure I agree, but I do think that that's what they think. I mean, I think Goody is convinced that it wasn't as bad up front as it looked because of the transition. But, you know, because Rashawn Gary, let's be honest, Rashawn Gary came from Michigan where he had his hand in the dirt. And so this shouldn't have been as big of a transition as it turned out to be. So we'll have to wait and see on that. But no, look, if I'm the Packers and I think that acquiring Myles Garrett will be the 2025 version of acquiring Reggie White, minus the changing the perception of the organization piece of it, because that perception no longer exists because of Reggie and because of the winning they did thereafter. But from a purely player impact standpoint, if Goody thinks that Myles Garrett can be his Reggie White, then I think that's a more than fair price to pay and a price he's willing to pay. The question I have is, he just turned 29 on December 29th. You know, Reggie White was 31 when the Packers acquired him. I would be curious just how Goody views a third contract to Myles Garrett, only because we know how his third contracts so far have largely worked out. And I think they have just solidified in his mind that it's better to go young than to pay a guy a third contract. And in a lot of cases, I think he's a lot less willing to pay second contracts to.
Kyle, you doing that deal if you're the Packers?
I'm doing anything to get Myles Garrett.
Well, the question I have for Jason is, you know, we've seen Josh Jacobs and Jordan Love making the rounds by down by Craig there in New Orleans. Do you think it's more likely if the Packers are to address a position via free agency or trade, is it defensive end or is it wide receiver?
Ooh, that's a good question, Strolf. I don't know about this Davante Adams. I don't want to call it nonsense because I don't think it's nonsense.
It's not nonsense, especially, but it's a little much, no?
Well, and especially, like, I never would have thought that Davante would be fanning the flames, as much as he has. So that makes me wonder what to think about that. Because, look, if we're being honest, like, I don't think – maybe the Jets will still bring back Aaron Rodgers. I can't say for certain that they won't. But if they're not, then Davante is going to be cast adrift as well. And if – because he's certainly not playing for $35 million. And one of the things that he's clearly going to be looking for is a place where he can land and continue – to improve his standing as a potential Pro Football Hall of Famer, right? Like, he needs to go somewhere where he can have a few more years that burnish that Hall of Fame resume. And he clearly has changed his view of Jordan Love from what he felt previously. So I think he seriously wants to come back. You know, I've exchanged a few text messages with him. He has not explicitly said that. I don't know if he's just kind of enjoying playing the game, both via iMessage and via the Kay Adams podcast. But the bottom line is that he has to find a home, and I don't think it's going to be in New York if Rodgers is gone. So I think it's more likely that they would address it via a trade at wide receiver or a signing at wide receiver. I believe Goody believes that he's got, you know, that Lucas Van Ness is going to get better.
Yep.
And that Kingsley Enagbare is a good player and that he can draft a guy at 23 who can come in and have an impact. Now, again, we'll see if he's right, but that would be my gut feeling on where Goody thinks. Because remember, it's not just about, oh, let's add a number one because Josh Jacobs said so. Let's not we don't need a veteran because, you know, our team needs somebody to mentor these young guys. They're not going to have Christian Watson for the first half of the season, and there has to be at least some measure of question mark mm-hmm. about what Romeo Doubs' availability
right.
is long-term with the concussion issues he's had lately. So, to me, that makes wide receiver a lot more logical.
Jason, you just dropped so many different nuggets
just,
there.
Just breaking news that we will share with everyone that Giannis Antetokounmpo with his mild calf strain is going to be out for the NBA All-Star Game a week from today. That comes from ESPN's Shams Charania. So there is, people have wondered the last few nights where Giannis has not played. What was going on, and with that mild calf strain, he will be also out for the All-Star game next week.
That's okay. I mean, I'd rather him be healthy in March, April, May, and June. Than
I just hope it's not the same issue he ended up having last year.
Yep. All right, back to y'all.
Jason, I do want to know this, though, because I do think it's interesting that not only did Josh Jacobs make comments about what the team needed to add, but also a little bit of Jordan Love talking about, you know, he would be open to additions. I mean, if those two players are saying that, don't you think Goody's kind of noticed that as well? Because obviously there's glaring holes on this team where they can just get reinforcements. You don't think any of that will have any influence? I know Rodgers had no influence, but you don't think with the window and the 3 to 5 year plan that he has that there won't be any influence to try to get some?
Are you crazy? You're saying that what a running back that like he views as like a commodity like says, or that Jordan Love says, oh yeah, I'd be open to stuff. I mean, Jason, he doesn't care about that stuff.
I wasn't going to be quite as harsh in my dismissiveness, Kyle, but Craig is right. I don't think he cares. I really don't. And what I do think he cares about is, you know, he claims he doesn't see windows. At the same time, obviously in the conversation and the story that Rob Domofsky wrote for ESPN.com and ESPNWisconsin.com, you just referenced it, these 3 to 5 year plans that he has. I mean, you know, if that's your mentality, then you're calling them plans instead of windows, but you kind of still view it the same way, right? And so I don't think he's influenced by that. You know, I don't think he wants to add older players. And, you know, I don't think Myles Garrett fits the suit either. The guys that fit the suit, and I said this to Strofe on Weekly Wildy, like, you know, I think I know the league okay. I certainly don't pay as close of attention to it as I pay to the Packers specifically. But I didn't know who the hell Za'Darius Smith was when the Packers signed him. I knew he played for Baltimore. That was it. And when you look at what he did, 13.5 sacks in his first year with the Packers, 12.5 in his second year, and then he obviously had his issues and his unwillingness to play when he didn't have any more guaranteed money left. But 26 sacks in his first two seasons, and that was a guy that I wasn't familiar with his game, right? And probably neither were you. To me, that's the kind of guy that Goody's going to sign. The non-first-round pick who has come to the end of his rookie four-year deal and is going to get paid, but not an astronomical amount.
Well, Jason, I guess my issue is this, is that the last time the Packers have won a Super Bowl, right, and I understand this only comes around once in a while, but we're talking about now, we're in the once-in-a-while time, right, is you just talked about it. They signed Reggie White, who was going to go on to be a what?
It wasn't the last time they won the Super Bowl.
No. You got to let me finish. They signed Reggie White, and what ended up happening, you know, some seasons after that? They won a Super Bowl. And then they signed Charles Woodson, and what, a future Hall of Famer as well. What happened? They ended up winning a Super Bowl. Now you have an opportunity to potentially, and I'm not talking about Tay, I'm talking about with Myles Garrett. I know they're going to have a lot of competition, but Myles Garrett could be in the same vein, in the same breath of Reggie White, Charles Woodson, and then Myles Garrett that could eventually take you to a Super Bowl. Za'Darius Smith did a fantastic job for the Packers, but you know what we got with Za'Darius Smith? Zero Super Bowl rings. And so that's where my issue comes, is eventually you have to look at history to say, let's take this leap of faith where we know we're going to get a potentially talented player that could potentially be a Hall of Famer, that can be a game changer for your football team. And so that's where my frustration comes, is that you got to use the past to at least try to educate you for the future, is that you got to make the major move to win a Super Bowl. It's not about winning regular season games or NFC North titles. It's about winning Super Bowls, man. And I'm just frustrated about the fact that we may not do that with Goody because he's not going to take the swing at the fence that he needs to get a big-time player.
Kyle, they went to the NFC Championship game each of the first 2 years.
That's not a Super Bowl.
You're in position to go to the Super Bowl.
But we won a Super Bowl with a guy named Charles Woodson, who I know he got hurt in the Bowl, but he got there. Reggie White.
That doesn't guarantee, because it happened in the past, that it happens again. There's multiple ways to get to Super Bowls.
Well, we've only had.
Right, but Kyle, it's, I mean, Jason, how many big free agents can you mention around the league every year get signed, and those teams don't go to the Super Bowl?
I understand that, but I'm just saying, if Myles Garrett was on this football team, I feel like this defense that becomes that much better. It becomes so much more better.
Jason, Andrew Berry, as you said, isn't even at this point putting Myles Garrett on the table as a potential, right? I mean, if he was, you're saying you think the Packers – at this age would consider him or wouldn't?
I think they would have a conversation, and then they would decide that all those three things that I just outlined that it would require to get him, giving up draft capital, giving up an easily controlled, inexpensive rookie deal and then paying him an astronomical amount, I don't think they're going to want to do that. I don't. Now, look, let's look at it from the other perspective, Kyle. I think you might have to admit that, and again, I don't know enough about the Eagles' ins and outs. They're obviously a really, really good football team. But there's a chance that without Zach Bond, they're not in the Super Bowl today, right? There's a chance. I'm not saying for certain. But my point is that Zach Bond, they got for like a one-year, $3.5 million deal. Like, if you make good decisions with who you sign, they don't all have to be blockbuster big number signings. They can be guys that are nothing close to that and allow you to be a Super Bowl contender, yeah, or a Super Bowl team. But again, I'm just saying, just because you can rattle off, and let's be honest about Charles Woodson, by the way, too. Charles Woodson, the Packers were the only team that wanted him to still play corner.
But he was a great. Like, he was the still, only he other, still talented. Right, he was
but
just
no one
attitude,
saw him
right?
that way, Kyle. Kyle, in 1993, everyone wanted Reggie White. He went on a free agency tour. He went to all these different places, and then God told him to take the most money, and that was from the Packers. So Charles Woodson was available to every team, and the Packers were the only ones, and he didn't even want to be here. Like, he was a malcontent in 2006. So, like, I think that's a false equivalency. You need someone to be as good as those guys on defense to get you to a Super Bowl. If you want to argue that, I think you can. Okay? But that's, you don't have to necessarily pay top dollar on the free agent market or trade for a guy to be that. You just need somebody to be at that level.
I hear you, Jason. I hear you. We can go back and forth, but
do
I hear
you though.
No, I do. I do. We can go back and forth.
You're listening.
But
are you listening?
No,
you hear him, but are you
listening? I'm
listening.
We can go back and forth. He makes a lot of great points. I just, you know.
Are you retaining the information?
I was so happy when Jason came on and was talking about how he, you know, he's been texting a little bit with Tay, and you know, this as you know, Tay actually does have a mutual interest. Well, hopefully it's a mutual interest.
Jason, have you been texting with your guy Rodgers at all? Because Jordan Schultz of Fox Sports reporting that the Jets likely to move on from Aaron Rodgers. Have you talked to him at all about what he's going to do?
I have not. The last time I texted with him, it was a fairly long back and forth about the fires in California. And while his house at the time, I have not circled back, had suffered damage from the high winds. It had been spared from the fires. So I have not texted with him. He did evacuate. I can tell you that. He went to Arizona to evacuate. But I had not reached out about football. He was asking about the girls and some other stuff. But I should circle back because it does influence the Devontae Adams angle. And, look, I think it's important for me to be full disclosure here. I am rooting for the Devontae Adams reunion as hard as anyone this side of Kay and Devontae Adams. Like, he's one of my guys. I think the world of him, obviously, and I think that he would be perfect for a team that could be missing some wide receiver pieces and is not like T. Higgins, who you sign and pay huge top dollar for, or trade if he gets franchise tagged, and then he is clearly your number one. Man, he's on your team for 2 years. He is still a transitional guy until, say, Jaden Reed is ready to be a number one. So I think it's the perfect fit. I don't think it's going to cost the kind of money that other wide receivers will cost. I think it would be a really smart thing for them to do. But I'm also very biased.
All right. Well, we have our mystery guest coming up, our new 7 and 11. I actually think Jason would be quite helpful with it. Oh my God. You is anyone following what's going on in the FA Cup fourth round between Liverpool?
Oh, here we go again.
No,
here we go again.
No, Craig. We are not. Remember, we're in America. We play American football, not that football American.
Wait. Plymouth Argyle is basically
Craig, I don't even know who that is.
Right. They're basically in last place in the second division.
All due respect, like, I couldn't give less of a damn.
No, but picture the last place team in AAA playing the Los Angeles Dodgers, who is Liverpool, who is the first place team in the major leagues. And they are playing at the last place AAA team.
Mm.
And there's less than 1 minute left in the game. And now it's over in one of the biggest upsets in the history of football.
Wow. Jason, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, Jason's. I bet Jason loves that.
Jason, for you to be here for this, Plymouth Argyle has just defeated Liverpool 1-0 to advance to the fifth round of the FA Cup, Jason. Your live reaction as you're hearing this for the first time.
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
Good choice.
When I think of Argyle, I think of the chauffeur in Die Hard.
Yeah.
That's what I think of when I think of Argyle.
Nice.
Did that help you? Is that what you were looking for?
No. This is a big, big deal in world sport, and it is. I would argue today, regardless of what happens here in New Orleans, the biggest story in football today will be Plymouth Argyle.
Okay, he's delusional. He's literally delusional.
All right, Craig.
Can you guys let me go now?
Yeah,
can I go?
Go ahead, hit him with the line, Jason.
Take care. Be good.
All right, our mystery guest coming up next, Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.